Ready to save time and money managing your church facility? Special guest Tim Cool is with us to share about four critical budgeting buckets you can't afford to overlook.
Informing, encouraging, and supporting your church. You're listening to the Excellence in Church Administration podcast from ECFA.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome back to another Excellence in Church Administration podcast. This is your host, Michael Martin from ECFA, and today we have the great privilege of talking with Tim Cool about four budgeting buckets when it comes to stewardship of church facilities. Now, Tim is an industry leader. He's a humble guy. He'd never say this, but he is an industry leader. He is a great friend of ECFA, and he is the Chief Solutions Officer of Cool Solutions Group, which I'm sure he hears this all the time, but that is such a great name. And Tim
it
and
is.
I... Yes, it is. Tim, you and I were together recently at the Church Network National Conference, where you were honored as an inductee into the Church Management Hall of Fame for all the great work that you've done over the years to serve church leaders, and definitely an honor that's very well deserved.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a privilege to serve the local church and to be that resource to help administrators do a monumental task that they're asked to do by their local congregations.
No, that's absolutely right. And we appreciate you taking time. You're a busy guy, do a lot of traveling, and you're with church leaders a lot. And so we thank you for taking the time to be with us on the podcast. And, as I alluded to earlier, Tim, I think you really do share ECFA's heart in a lot of ways, and that is to help churches be good stewards of their resources. And we know that your focus in a lot of ways is on church facilities, and that's a huge, huge area, I know, to the billions every year. But honestly, I don't think it's one that we hear too much about. So maybe tell us a little bit about how this area became such a passion of yours.
Absolutely. So the first 22 years of my adult career was in the church construction industry. So I had the privilege of building about 400 churches across the United States in that period of time. And in 2008, I was really burdened after going back into some buildings that we had built and that were 2-3 years old, but looked like they were 10 to 12 years old. And I was really burdened to see, we get all excited about spending millions and millions of dollars. And as you said, the Census Bureau says anywhere from $5 to $6 billion a year is spent on church construction. And yet we don't think much about what does it mean to actually own a church building for the next 40, 50, 100 years. And so we got this burning passion of how do we help churches not just be excited and to think through and plan the construction or the renovation of a building, but to grasp the concept of what we've called facility stewardship. So I'm a firm believer that everything on earth belongs to God, not just our money. And too often we think stewardship, we think of money, but it's everything. It's the chair I'm sitting on right now, the microphones we're talking into. That also means it's our church and ministry facilities. And so what are we doing to steward those? If you go back into the New Testament, if you use the NIV, the word entrusted is used 55 times. Mm. The word entitled is never used. So our church facilities have been entrusted to us to be a steward of them. I think we're going to be held accountable for them.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm really so thankful that God put that burden on your heart, because like we said, that's not been, out front and out center. So I'm really glad, Tim, that you guys have chosen to focus on that. And, it makes me think when we were together recently, you were sharing with me a little bit about what you call the four buckets of church facility budgeting. We thought, that is so good. It's got to be on the podcast. So maybe give our listeners here just some insights into each of these buckets and why they're so critical.
Yeah, absolutely. As we've done facility condition assessments for churches around the country, we generally find that there is these four buckets, however you want to describe it, of where monies need to be at least planned for and then allocated for. And the first one is operations. So think about utility bills to keep the lights on, janitorial to keep it clean, general maintenance to keep it in a working function, and then capital reserves and staffing. And capital reserves, we can talk a little bit more about, because that is the too often forgotten part of the operation budget. The second bucket that we find for majority of churches is deferred maintenance. And that just basically means it's all the things that you should have done that you didn't do already. The third bucket is capital reserves. And then the fourth bucket is projects. So I want to add some more buildings. I want to do a major renovation project, something like that. That would be projects. So if you look at all four of those buckets, those all need to be considered individually as well as corporately when you're thinking about your facility finances and budget operations.
Good. Now that's a really helpful overview. I'm here taking notes, and I think after hearing that, I've got a few questions here that I imagine many of our listeners would be asking as well. And the first one being, Tim, how about this one? Is it possible in an ideal world, if you do everything else right, is it possible to eliminate that deferred maintenance bucket?
Yeah, and that deferred maintenance in a perfect world would not exist. The deferred maintenance, and I've got a deep concern that we're going to see an epidemic of even more deferred maintenance as churches have seen decline in attendance and budget and so on. And I've got several clients right now that if they can't figure out a way to change ministry, they're going to have to change facilities, meaning they have to get rid of the facilities they've got. Either that or it's going to bankrupt them, or we're going to end up seeing the blight that we do over in Europe with empty buildings everywhere. Because churches are getting to the point where it's a critical state of millions and millions of dollars of deferred maintenance on buildings that they've not taken care of for 3, 4, 5 generations. And so the best way to eliminate deferred maintenance altogether is to properly fund your general maintenance budget as part of your operation bucket and to properly staff your facility staff. So, And I understand that people will be listening to this, Michael, and say, yeah, but we can't afford to. Well, you can't afford to, but in many ways you can't afford not to, because if you want to eliminate deferred maintenance, the only way to do that is to spend the time and money and energy to take care of those things before they become deferred. Every facility condition assessment we have performed, when the churches have significant deferred maintenance, there's empirical data proves that they are underfunding general maintenance and they are understaffed, period. Those are the two things. So if you want to eliminate deferred maintenance, you've got to properly fund it. So in a perfect world, you would fund general maintenance and operations properly. You'd have the proper staffing. You'd keep the building up to snuff until it's time to replace the equipment, at which time you would use your capital reserve bucket to replace it. By doing that, you eliminate deferred maintenance.
Well, I just want to piggyback too, Tim, on one of those comments as well. You talked about this epidemic that's underway with a lot of the newer churches that are coming along, church plants, or maybe even more established churches that are planting, or starting new campuses and so forth. Are you seeing a different trend in terms of the kinds of buildings that people are building?
Well, they're building buildings that are more, for lack of a better term, utilitarian. Hmm. So they have more flexibility and utilization of space. One of my biggest concerns with the church, I love the church merger movement, and I believe it truly is more than just a, quote, church growth initiative. I think it is actually going to be a sustainable model. But when I look at the mergers that are going on and I look at church planters, and Dr. Rayner and I did a podcast a little while ago on this topic about when is a gift no longer a gift? And you know, these church planters or the guys that are taking on multi-site, they're given this old 50-year-old building from a church that's, you know, down to 30 members, and it looks like this great gift, only to find out they've got $5 million of deferred maintenance. Now what do you do? You know, if you're a church plant with 100 people and you got this, quote, free building that's now going to cost you $5 million to bring it up to snuff, was it really a free building?
Right. No, that's true. And you're right. That is something that we're seeing more and more of, are those possibilities. So those are some good insights. And maybe too, looking a little bit beyond just the church world, if you will, how are we doing compared to other industries? Like, I know this isn't just a unique problem to churches. So how are we doing compared to other areas like school systems and others when it comes to this deferred maintenance area?
Well, because schools are public entities, they have dollars to do studies, where churches many times don't. So the U.S. Green Building Council has a subset called the Center for Green Schools. So they did a study of looking at what it would cost to modernize the U.S. school systems and the buildings to meet current education, safety, and health standards. And their estimate is $542 billion.
Wow.
To bring the school systems up to current standards because of deferred maintenance. Now, put it into perspective. There's only 95,000 schools in America. There's 350,000 plus churches in America. Now, granted, some of the schools are much larger than churches, but at a minimum, we're probably at least in that same half, $500 billion, if not closer to $1 trillion of deferred maintenance. And for a organization that claims to be good stewards, that's not real good stewardship.
We've got some work to do, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, as you were getting ready to share that number, I was bracing myself here, and it even exceeded what I thought it was going to be. So a lot to think about when it comes to deferred maintenance. And if my notes are good, I'm taking notes here, I think the third bucket that you mentioned was capital reserves. And we get asked a lot about reserves here at ECFA. So I wanted to be sure to ask you this one, and that is, you know, in your experience working with so many churches in this area, how many would you say have adequate reserves when it comes to capital reserves?
So on a percentage basis, it is in the low single digits from a percentage basis. So I would say less than 5 or 6% have adequate capital reserves. And interestingly enough, many of them that have adequate reserves are more liturgical in nature, because they've adopted the endowment mentality. And so they have a facilities endowment to take care of capital reserves. We just are working with a church here in Charlotte that, as part of selling an old building to build a new one, they have set up a capital reserve endowment because they had taken such poor condition of or poor care of the last building. And again, more of a mainline church. The evangelical churches as a whole have not done a really, really good job with that. And some of it, I think, is, you know, mission, you know, get out there, do it. And we fail to realize that while that is truly the call of the church, and that while a building will never save a soul, we would have a tough time doing church in North America without our buildings. If you were in Phoenix in August and the air conditioning went out in your sanctuary, how many weeks could you do church without air conditioning?
No, that's right. They would all be live streaming, right?
Yes, exactly. Everyone would be at home. You know, the text to give and live streaming would go through the roof. So most churches do a very poor job. So we get asked the question, well, how much is enough?
Yeah.
Well, the best answer is, well, you need to set up a program to analyze every component and set it up. So we actually developed a piece of software that's free to all churches. That's called a life cycle calculator. And it allows you to itemize every item and what's a useful life and what's an inflation rate. And it lets you know year after year, how much money do you need to have? But if a church doesn't have the time to do that, which I would debate them on, it's like saying I don't have time to balance my checkbook. The other approach is you need anywhere from $1 to $3 per square foot annually set aside in a growing capital reserve account. And I say growing because it's not that you put $1 to $3 per square foot aside and then spend it that next year. It's there to be able to grow so that in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you have adequate money to replace all your air conditioning. Because, Michael, these are not if questions.
Right.
These are inevitabilities. It's a matter of when and how much.
No, I like that.
So when are we going, you are going to replace every air conditioning unit in your building, period. It's inevitable. It is a law of nature that God created. Those things deteriorate. And so are we prepared for it? People say, well, you know, I got to prepare for retirement. Okay, well, what about the retirement of your air conditioning units? What about the retirement of your parking lot and your roof? You're going to have to retire them and replace them at some point in time, and they're going to be at inflated dollars. For example, and you're a money guy, if I had a $50,000 air conditioning unit today that's going to last me 20 years at 3% compounded inflation, I need $92,000 in 20 years to replace that. Are we ready for that? In most churches, the answer is no. And the least appealing kind of capital reserve or capital campaign is for deferred maintenance repairs.
You're saying that doesn't get people too excited?
It doesn't. I don't know why, but it doesn't. And I can tell you this, in working with some churches with a heavy population of millennials, when you come to the millennials and say, you know what, we didn't plan far enough ahead to prepare ourselves for the roof that we knew we were going to have to replace in 20 years. Now we need you to give to it. The millennials are saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to buy a pair of Tom's shoes to help a third world child because you 60-year-old man forgot to plan properly.
Well, yeah, I think as you were kind of explaining that, I was thinking, I think human nature, right, is a lot of times it's let's hope it doesn't happen on my watch and maybe it'll still get be passed down and be someone else's problem. But like you're saying, I don't think that's the solution either, right?
No. Welcome to Social Security.
All right. Well, that's good in terms of capital reserves. I think I want to maybe just hit one more of these buckets. These are really good. How about let's go back to the first one that you mentioned in terms of operational budgeting mistakes. What are maybe some of the biggest mistakes that you see churches make here? And knowing that we're all, of course, we're wanting to get better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the biggest mistake is they don't plan. We don't plan to fail. We just fail to plan. And so we end up just, well, what was last year's budget? Okay, we'll spend that again plus 5% this year. Instead of really thinking through, let me give you a prime example. We know that on a national basis, throw New York City out of the mix on this, that most churches will spend between $1 and $1.50 per square foot annually for utility costs. So that's water, gas, and electric, not telephone or anything like that. So when we go in to do an assessment and we find a church, and we did one in Tennessee a couple of years ago that was running $2.05 a square foot on 200,000 square feet. That's $110,000 higher than the high average. And they were telling me they could not afford to put money in a capital reserve. Well, after analyzing their system, we found out that they were letting it run 24 hours a day. And so if you make the proper adjustments with your air conditioning system, now all of a sudden they've saved $110,000, which can go right into capital reserves without increasing the budget. And so the biggest mistake is people don't look critically at what they're spending on their facility operations.
Maybe that's why you call it the cool solutions group, right? You guys are actually providing solutions on these things. Not a paid advertisement, but yeah. No, it's true. A lot of practical things that churches can do, huh?
Yeah, another big one, as I mentioned earlier with deferred maintenance, is not having proper staffing. And according to studies that we've done, we've interviewed about 300 churches and then have correlated that data with the International Facility Managers Association, which is a secular organization with 25,000 members. You need about one full-time equivalent, one employee dedicated to general maintenance for every 25 to 35,000 square feet. And I assure you that the majority of churches are somewhere one person to every 50 to 100,000 square feet. And then they wonder why they have deferred maintenance.
Everybody's trying to push the limits, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, that is super practical, Tim. And I think you've given some really good, even just kind of rules of thumb or benchmarks, you know, that folks can walk away with in terms of practical takeaways from the podcast today. And I know that you've actually done some more writing on this topic, and you guys have a free download on what you call the Church Facility Management Solutions community. So if folks are more interested in hearing about these four buckets or kind of staying in touch with you guys, should they get the download through the community or just email you guys? What's the best way for folks to follow up with you?
Yeah, the best way that we're recommending for churches is join Church Facility Management Solutions. You can find it at cfms.cool. Is there a .martin? No, but there is a .cool. Okay.
we had to rub it in.
I'm sorry. But that is a totally free online community for people that have been entrusted with a facility. So it's not just for facility managers. It's for anybody. So it could be the pastor that's got a 100-person church. It could be business administrator that is ad hoc facility manager. But if you'll join that for free, you have a lot of benefits to it, but there's a huge resource section. And today, we just released the ebook, The Four Buckets of Church Facility Budgeting. And it's available right now only to the members of our community. It'll be released to the general public later. And again, it's totally free, both the community and the ebook. And it's in our new resource section. And so you can get it and download it there. They can also go to coolsolutionsgroup.com. And we have a blog that we put out once a week that has these same kind of topics if they're looking to get additional information.
Well, hey, we feel very honored today. We're the first to hear the news. So in terms of that ebook release, and again, as Tim was sharing, that website, correct me if I'm wrong, it's cfms.cool, right?
Correct.
Perfect. All right. Well, Tim, hey, thank you again so much for taking the time to be our guest today, and just so appreciate all that you're doing to serve the body of Christ in many ways, including those free resources. We really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Well, for all of our regular listeners as well, at ECFA, you know that we share the same passion that we've been talking about today to help churches honor God in stewarding His resources. And the team here has worked really hard to put together some additional resources to help you as a leader when it comes to budgeting. And the first is a new ebook, The 10 Essentials of Church Budgeting. It's a free members download on the resources page at ecfa.church. And for a limited time as well, it's also available free to all churches in our online resource community at churchexcel.org. And be sure to also check out the companion webinar, The 10 Essentials of Church Budgeting, that's coming soon with Vonna Lau and John Van Drunen from the ECFA team. And if you can't make the live webinar, you can always check out the webinar on demand along with dozens of other past webinars through our website. If you need any help accessing these resources or have a question, or maybe you have an idea for a future podcast episode, just email podcast@ecfa.org. Well, thanks again, everyone, for joining us today and for all that you do to serve the church. We're here for you, we believe in you, and we can't wait to be with you again soon for another Excellence in Church Administration podcast.